Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, our continuing video broadcast. It is difficult, I know, and I hope that today's sermon will speak to us on a new level because I'm hearing the pain. This is going to be totally different than how we usually start out with all the frivolity and everything, but I do want us to have a little bit of time to reflect and be together in God's house. So we welcome you in this morning, and we thank you for being here. And I promise you, we're going to be returning to the inside of this building before too much longer. With that being said, let us begin today, and we welcome you in. Our scripture lesson today for the sermon, Truly Protected, comes from Matthew chapter 2, the first 15 verses. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. While you're looking that up, I heard the story about a pastor who had just taken over a church, and young pastor, and hadn't been there very long, and every Sunday morning, a particular individual in the church would walk out and go by him and say, well, that sermon didn't quite make it this Sunday, Pastor, or he'd make a comment about, you really mumbled your way through that one, didn't you? Or, that one didn't make any sense. And finally, after a couple of weeks of it, he caught hold of one of the deacons on their way out. And he didn't tell the deacon what he said, but he mentioned that every Sunday that this particular individual had something to say on the way out of church that was kind of hard for him to listen to. And the deacon looked at him and said, oh, don't worry about that. That's old man Johnson. His head is touched. He really don't think real well. He just goes around repeating what he hears everybody else say. Please don't do that to me. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for this child and kill him. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this sermon today, give it strength, give it weight, give it power. The words that I parrot, that I echo from you, that are given to me, let them be truly yours. For we all need to hear what is leading us. Father, I pray that you will open our ears, our hearts, and our minds today through this sermon. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of his children join with me. Amen. I'm changing direction this morning. I feel that I need to talk directly to everyone, especially my church family that's not here with me, that's usually in building. And so I would ask you to listen to this story, and hopefully it begins you to understand the sermon truly protected. In 1997, usually I tell a story about somebody great who has done something great that echoes the Bible, that teaches us. But today, I want to talk about the sermon titled Truly Protected. In 1997, I was a young steam engineer. See, in 1996, I had just bought a steam engine. And I want to tell you this story because I love this story. And I don't know that I've ever shared it. So there are people out there in the steam community that know it. And if you're watching this, then you've heard it. But in 1997, July of 1997, I was a young steam engineer out showing the steam engine I had just bought on my own for my very first time. I was out on my own. I also owned a 1984 or 5 Ford pickup truck with a gas engine in it, 4-speed. And on a Friday morning in July, I left my house in Myersville to drive down to Berryville, Virginia, to go to the steam show because my engine was down there, and I was going to spend the next 3 days playing with the steam engine. In the back of the truck was tools and coal and everything I needed to go and have a wonderful weekend. And I look down as I get in this truck and I fire up that old gas-powered Ford truck. It's got a 460 in it, big engine. And I look in this thing and the gas needle says a little better than a quarter tank. Well, that's fine. Gas is cheaper down there. I'll just drive down. So I hit the road. I go across 17 down 340 at Charlestown, jump on Route 9, and I take off down the road. Now, down on Route 9, just before you get into Virginia, on the right-hand side is a bar called the Rainbow Road Club. And if you're not familiar with it, it's where Patsy Cline got her start, the Home of Sweet Dreams. And just as the road makes a bend right there, there is a sign that says, Welcome to Virginia. There's some pine trees, the sign's right in front of it. Just past the property of that is this sign. That particular morning, the radio was blaring country music. I was singing, Gonna Go Be Steam Engineer, woo woo. I was probably even singing the song Choo Choo Charlie from Good and Plenty, Good and Plenty, Good and Plenty. And as I go past the Rainbow Road Club, as I start to come up on it, just before I cross into Virginia, the old Ford truck went and shut off. And I drifted to the side of the road. There's a big shoulder there. I drifted to the side of the road and pulled up in front of that sign that said, Welcome to Virginia, with a truck that was dead on a Friday morning at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. I hit the starter. Vroom, 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 vroom. Pumped it a couple times. Vroom, 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 vroom. I said, this dumb thing, what is wrong with it? So I got out and I opened the hood and I get around there and I check. Everything tells me it's out of gas, but the gas gauge is reading quarter tank. So I'm now stuck. This is in the days before cell phones, young people. I'm standing there with the hood up when suddenly I look and a Ford pickup, an old 70s Ford pickup, pulls up behind me. And these two old boys get out of this pickup truck and they walk up to me and the following conversation took place. Hey, are you broke down? Yes, sir, I am. And immediately the smell let me know that these fellers were a little bit happy in the morning. They said, what's wrong? I said, well, I think I've run out of gas. And the man said, do you have any? No, I don't have any. I look in the back of the truck and his buddy's leaning in the back of the truck. He goes, nope, I don't see a gas can anywhere. He said, that's all right. We'll siphon off some gas and get you going so you can get to town. We've run out of gas plenty of times. Right, Junior? Yep. And my world became surreal at that moment. What is going on here? So these guys produce a hose. He said, you got a hose? No, I don't have a hose. We got a garden hose. We'll just cut that up. We'll get another one. And they cut a length of the hose off and they shove it down the tank. And he said, do you have a jug? No, I don't have a jug. So from behind the seat, they produced a 1-gallon jug that had something in it. They poured that out on the ground. and they proceeded to siphon up and fill this jug with gasoline, one doing the siphoning and one standing next to him holding the hose while he smoked a cigarette. This was a day that I have never forgotten. So they come over to my truck and they go to pour it in and they looked around and they said, "Do you have a funnel?" No, I don't have a funnel. I don't have a hose. I don't have a can. I don't have gas. But I didn't want to be ignorant with them because this is just, he said, "That ain't no problem. Go get that newspaper we was reading." And they come out with a newspaper and they rolled it up and they made a funnel out of it. And one held the funnel newspaper and the other poured the gas and the one holding the newspaper was still smoking that cigarette. They get it in there and they save just enough gas. They said, "Get in it and we'll pour a little in the carburetor and get you started." Okay. Fired the old truck up and the old truck breathed to life. Yay! And they shut the hood and they walked by the truck and they said, "The gas station's just down the road in town. We'll follow along, and if you run out of gas, we'll put more in it for you." Okay. So this little caravan goes down to the gas station, and we pull in, and I get out of the truck, and I beg them to let me pay them. And they said, "No, we have to get on out of here now." I said, "Why is that?" The man said, "Well, it's about time for the town sheriff or town cop or whatever it is to make his rounds through there, and well, me and Junior, we've been nipping a little bit this morning, and we probably ought not to be behind the wheel, so we got to go. Hey, we'll see you later." I said, "Well, come on over to the show. Let me buy you lunch later." "Okay." They drove off, and I never saw them again. I gassed up the truck. I drove the truck over to the showgrounds. It just so happens that the guy I bought the truck from is a good friend of mine. He was at the showgrounds, and I came up to him. I said, "Hey! What's the deal with that truck?" "What do you mean?" "I run out of gas." He goes, "Oh yeah. When that thing's on quarter tank, it's about empty. Something's wrong with the gas gauge." I still drive that road regularly to go down to Berryville, Virginia. Sometimes we go that way if we're going to Winchester just because it's a pretty drive. I pass by that spot in the road constantly. And it used to be a running joke, a funny story where people would get a big laugh out of it because it is a pretty funny story. But when I started to come back to the Lord, the next time I passed by that spot, I began to think about how the fact that I was truly protected in that moment. And I didn't need to be. I shouldn't have been. You see, back then, I wasn't walking real close with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back then, I walked a lot closer with the bottle and a lot of other things I ought not to have been doing. There was no reason in this world whatsoever that I should have had any blessings or any protection. Now, I wasn't blasphemous most of the time, and I always believed that He existed. And I knew where He was. And I knew right from wrong. And even back then, I still said grace before every meal. And unlike today's people, I still took my hat off when I said grace and still took my hat off when I sat down at the table. But I wasn't walking the walk. I wasn't relying on Him. I hadn't given everything over. And yet, I was truly protected. I wanted to go in that direction today and tell that story because although it seems like a dumb story, I know we're hurting. I've received a myriad of phone calls and thoughts over the past 2 weeks. And usually this is the sermon where we're now in 2021. We're now in the new year. Usually this is the sermon where I speak about all the good things and being prepared and being full of love and being full of hope and trying to be jovial and everything. And maybe that's what I ought to be doing today. But the truth of the matter is, we're okay. We are truly protected. Regardless of whether you have made that ultimate commitment, regardless of whether you have claimed Jesus Christ as your Savior, regardless of even if you believe in Him, regardless of if you've been baptized and had your old life washed away, regardless of everything, we are truly protected. Why? Because God loves us. He loves us in a way that we cannot comprehend. We cannot fathom it. It does not make sense. I mean, let's be real for a moment. We're all human beings. And when somebody does something to you that wrongs you, or something somewhere has upset you with another person, you maybe don't think you'd do as much for that person as, say, your best good friend right next door. You might help them a little bit. Because we're human beings, sometimes we get lost in that, all of us, we get lost in that realm where if they're good to me, I'm good to them. I mean, be honest. Oh, there's the group of people that are real good at being good to everybody, regardless of how bad they are. But Mother Teresa has passed on, and most of us ain't like Mother Teresa. No, we're more of that mindset, or we're more of that group. If you treat me good, I treat you good. Now, as Christians, we learn how to accept the fact that not everybody's going to treat us good, and we try to treat everybody good regardless. But what I'm talking about today is we have a God. We have a God who gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, and protected us, and then gave us the Bible, and gave us the stories, and everything that's in it as to how He showed how it was done, and how we have grown under Him because of it. This scripture. Now, here we go, and I'm sure I'll get cards and letters and emails and people fussing at me about what I'm about to say, but it's the truth. And I don't take anything away from any of the Christmas decorations anywheres, but let's be clear about the timeline we're about to enter. All right? We're going into what some scholars believe is up to 2 years after the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not that good of a scholar, but I do know that the Magi, and the Bible is clear about it if you read the words carefully, the Magi were not there that night. Now, we put them there in nativity scenes because we want to understand and represent the gifts that were given to King Jesus. Got it. And I don't take anything away from it. Love the nativity scene. Love seeing the Magi, the animals and all that. But I want you to listen to the scripture again, and I want you to hear it from the correct perspective for the sermon titled Truly Protected to explain to you who we are. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, kings, powerful kings. If I was better at my Bible scholarly, I'd be able to tell you their names, and they do have names, and I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but kings, magi, from the east to Jerusalem and asked of King Herod, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him." They studied it. They knew. They understood that a great thing had happened. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and of course he would be. And Jerusalem was disturbed. The new king is going to upset the apple cart. Everything's going to go apart. Oh! And so he called together all of his preachers. He said, "What? Why didn't you tell me about this? What in the world is this all about?" And they told him, "The prophet wrote, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Herod, wanting to hold on to power, got the Magi, got the kings to come back and lied to them. "Look here. You guys are obviously smarter than anybody else in my entire administration. You go find out where this boy's at and come back and tell me so that I can go worship him as well. Because if he's to be the king of all, then I need to do my part." And the Magi were kind of fooled there for a moment. They were hoodwinked. And so they went forth and they found him. And the Bible records it. And this is where it's important. They went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Listen to verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, frankincense, and myrrh. What is the significance of that? Because Joseph, Mary, and the baby, now in human form, God incarnate, Him among us, Emmanuel, is now human and needs all of the protection from heaven. The Magi were then warned in a dream, don't go that way. Go another way. Don't tell King Herod where this baby's at. Now, let's think. When my children were born, when they crossed into that magical mark, when they were able to get up and start walking, boy, I tell you, then you worried about everything, didn't you? You ran around putting them plastic plugs in the outlets and putting the things on so they couldn't unlock the doors and putting the stuff on in the drawers in the kitchen and locks on the refrigerator and just about everything that makes an adult human crazy. Like trying to get in the bathroom with that thing when you really have to get in the bathroom and you can't get that door to open and you finally get there and they got that lock on the toilet seat so it don't come up. There's a lot of worry. And suddenly here comes these kings from out of nowhere into the house and they bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. And let me tell you what, frankincense and myrrh was almost worth more than gold in those days. Now they go, and an angel tells Joseph, get out of here. Go. Go to Egypt. Go away right now. And so they get up in the middle of the night and they go. And if we've ever wondered what the significance of those gifts were, it's very simple. They were there to be able to allow the family to live in Egypt quietly. Gold to buy food and clothing and housing and frankincense worth its weight in gold and myrrh. Truly protected. See, that's the thing with the Bible. That's the thing with everything that we have. We look at that scripture as those are the first gifts given. That's why we give gifts at Christmas. And yes, I don't argue that fact. There is some truth to that. We give gifts at Christmas to represent what was done because we give something in a thought line of ourself. And the Magi, the kings, were given this direction to go there and bring these great gifts to play their part to protect this child, to protect him. We are truly protected, regardless of how we stand right now in front of God. That's how much He loves us. It was Christmas Eve, 1875, and Ira Sankey was traveling on a Delaware River steamboat. He was recognized by some of the passengers. His picture had been in the newspaper because Ira Sankey was the famous song leader for the evangelist D.L. Moody. They asked him to sing one of his hymns, but Sankey, not wanting to claim that kind of adoration on himself, desired to be humble. He said, I'll sing one of William Bradbury's hymns, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And as he sang one of the stanzas, he began, We are thine, do thou befriend us. We are thine, do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. And when he had finished, a man stepped forward from the shadows and said, Did you ever serve in the Union Army? And Ira Sankey said, Yes, the spring of 1860. Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlit night in 1862? Picket duty, standing guard, standing watch. Yes, he said, very much surprised, I did. So did I. but I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I thought to myself, this is the last night this fellow lives. He will never get away. I put my musket in the crook of the tree, took careful aim. Standing in the shadows, completely concealed, the full moon of the light was falling on you. I had you, and at that instant, just as a moment ago, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing. Let him sing this song to the end, I said. I can always shoot him afterwards. He's my victim at all events, and my bullet cannot miss him. But the song you sang just now, I heard those words perfectly in the spring of 1862. We are thine. Do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Those words stirred up so many memories, and I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. She had sung this song to me so many times, and when you had finished your song, I couldn't take aim anymore. I thought the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must be surely great and mighty, and my arm, by its own accord, fell limp, dropped at my side, and I went back into the shadows and walked away. Greg, would you go get me a 2019 directory, please? I promised you I was going to do something a little differently. My church family is my church family, and they come forward first. Thank you. But you're all my family. And so to the Butts family, to the Carroll family, to Linda Craig, to the Cunningham family, to Bob and Sonia Davis, to John and Tiny DiColo, to Doris Diver, to the Dodson family, to Mike Dow, to the Eckstein family, to Diane Evans, to the George family, to the Ghost family, to Gail Haynes, to Rose and Walter Hawes, to Greg and Peggy Kiefer, Steve and Jackie Kiefer, to Bud and Shirley Leatherman, to Faye Mathias, to Lynn and Shirley Myers, to Lewis and Anna Lee Mowen, to Pat Myers, to Denny Ship, to Herman Ship, to Ron and Liz Sluss, to Tim and Jill Smith, to Sarah Spangler and John Spangler, to the Stocks family, Toddie, Sarah, Melody, to Linda Strait, to Hazel Strait, to Marvin and Mita Swope, and to Kathy Whittington. You are truly protected. I know you're not here in this building right now, but I pray for you every day. To those of you that are sitting out there right now watching this, worried, lost, we're starting a new year, and yet we still are plagued by this thing. You are still truly protected. You are where you're supposed to be right at this moment. My church family, my all family, I've used this scripture and I've probably used it recently, but in 1 Kings chapter 17 in the 7th verse, Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him, "Go to Zarephath of Sidon, stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar that I may have a drink?" And as she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain to the land. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I know I've used that scripture, but you know what the thing about scripture is that people seem to forget? Is that it gets used over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it has a reason all the time. And that reason is very simple. That reason is because the same scripture can be preached on three or four times and yet continue its meaning to be the same, yet more prevalent for the moment that you're in. I don't know if you... Matter of fact, I probably am pretty sure that nobody out in video land has heard this song before, but Doyle Lawson, banjo, mandolin player, great bluegrass band, Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. Several years ago, my good friend Matt Geiger taught me this song from them, and I have used it a couple times. The song is called Help Is On The Way. Listen to the words of it, and maybe you'll understand why I believe in my heart firmly that we are truly protected. A woman in the Bible days, her last meal almost gone. But God sent Elijah for to make his word known. He said, Woman, don't you worry, for God heard you today. And before you even ask me, help is on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up on today. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. A boy had many brothers, but his father loved him best. His coat of many colors was not like all the rest. So they sold him into slavery, thought he'd gone to stay. But he kept his eye on the heavens, 'cause help was on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Troubles of this life come, and
burdens get you down. You think no one is listening. You think no one's around. Just remember what the Lord says. Trust Him and obey. Keep your eyes toward the heavens. Help is on the way. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. A brighter day is coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up on today. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way.
Just hold on. Just hold on. Martin Luther wrote, "It appears that either Paul or Barnabas went too far when they started fighting with each other, and it must have been such a violent disagreement to make them part the way they did. Indeed, the Bible indicates as much. Such examples are written for our consolation. It is great comfort to hear that our saints, who have the Spirit of God, also struggle. Everyone struggles. Those who say the saints who do not sin would deprive us of this comfort. Samson, David, and many other celebrated men full of the Holy Spirit fell into grievous sins. Job and Jeremiah cursed the day of their birth. Elijah and Jonah were worried of life and weary of life and desired death. But Martin Luther writes these words, and I listen, please listen. No one has ever fallen so grievously that he may not rise again. Conversely, no one stands so firmly that he may not fall. If Peter and Paul and Barnabas fell, I too may fall. If they rose again, I too may rise again." You know why? Because we are truly protected. I know it. I know there's so much going on out there, and I know it requires an immense amount of faith. I know it requires for you to be in a place that you cannot fathom being. And I know it's hard. And it's not getting easier right now. And I don't have any answers. Other than we pray, I pray, everybody pray for everybody and understand that we are going to get through this. We are going to come out on the other end. This thing is going to stop. It is going to go away. Why? Because I believe God has a plan. I believe that our faith, our prayers will be answered in His time. I believe that we are truly protected. And yes, there are those that have been touched by this vicious disease. And yes, there are those that have lost loved ones. And no, I do not have that answer. I still believe we're truly protected. I still believe that. There's an old story that floats around about a young pastor talking to an older pastor about a family that had lost a child. And the family was asking why, and tears are coming to him. And the young pastor was distraught, and he went to the older pastor and he said, "How do I talk to this family? How do I explain to them the love of God when their child is gone?" And he said to this young pastor these words, "Remind them. God has not left. He's in the same place He was when we crucified His Son. He's there. We are truly protected." When Hudson Taylor was on his way to China, he was on a sailing vessel, the great missionary Hudson Taylor. And he was near the channel of the southern Malay Islands of the Isle of the Peninsula on the island of Sumatra. The missionary heard an urgent knock at his stateroom door, and he opened it, and the captain of the ship said, "Mr. Taylor, we have no wind and we are drifting toward an island where the people are heathen. They are cannibals. They will board this ship and kill us all. What can I do? Asked Taylor. I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind. All right, Captain. I will pray, but you must put the sails out. The captain said, well, that's ridiculous. There's no wind. Not even the slightest breeze. The sailors will throw me off the ship. They'll think I'm crazy. Hudson Taylor said, either this or that. Finally, the captain agreed, and Hudson Taylor hit his knees. And 45 minutes later, the captain came through the door and said, you can stop praying now. We have more wind than we'll ever know what to do with. A captain who didn't believe, a people who may not necessarily always believe, we are truly protected, brothers and sisters. We'll get through this. The stuff that's going on in your life, only thing I can tell you is what I will tell you what I'll do. Pray. Ask God, please, for patience, forgiveness, for understanding, to lift us up where we have tripped and fallen. But know this, we are loved by Him. We are protected by Him in the weirdest of situations, running out of gas on Route 9, when you have not been a very good Christian. We are truly protected. I love you all so much. I think about all of you all so much. And I pray for you that you will come to know that you are truly protected. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you lift them all up. I don't even know how to start with something like that. From my church family to the video family that we have here at the church to everyone, Father. And I ask right now that you be with the Butterworth family as well. Father, please hear us. Wait a minute. Strike that. I know you hear us. Please give us the strength that we need to continue going, for we are truly protected. Thank you for hearing us, for listening to us, for being there, for loving us, for giving us the breath of life, for thinking about us, for befriending us, even though we're yours, for befriending us and leading us. Thank you, Father, for we are truly protected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ, today's the day. Don't wait. Know Him. Know the protection and love that comes from Him. May God add His blessings to your life. May you be put forth in strength. May you be made strong to walk the walk that He has given you. This I pray now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, and God bless.